Ladies and gentlemen, what's going on? Welcome to episode 86 of the It's Obvious Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Preston Pugh, and I'm joined by my two best friends, Garrett Drake.
Boys, the weather outside may be a little somber, but I'm excited to talk video games with you regardless.
And Jacob Alka.
That was your opening?
It was.
What's your opening? And Jacob Alka.
I have no opening.
Oh, you don't?
I'm boring.
Jacob Alka, okay. You can do better than that. How about, rise up! Go Falcons, right?
Rouse up!
Yeah, there you go. You see, you're sporting another Falcon shirt this week.
Of course, I gotta keep wearing them until they're not gonna lose, so I'm not gonna say it.
I don't think they will either. I have a good feeling about it. I haven't watched a single Falcons game all year, but I have a feeling they're gonna win.
You gonna watch tomorrow?
Of course. Yeah, well, I'll be...
It'll have already happened by the time this goes up.
But. Yeah. I'll have been at work the whole time, but I'm gonna try to watch it on my phone a little bit. But
I'm volunteering tomorrow morning, but I'll be home for the game, so...
Cool. Yeah, it's actually in our announcement video tomorrow morning. It's all Falcons themed. Of course, I'm going to have a Falcon swoop across the green screen.
Falcon swoop?
Yeah. You know, Falcon swoop! Like that.
No, I don't know what that is.
But since it is now Monday for those that tune in on day one when this episode releases.
I'm going to predict right now it's going to be the Falcons versus the Patriots in the Super Bowl.
I think you're right, Jake. I got a good feeling about it. And you can't say you're predicting because it's already happened. So are the Falcons playing the Patriots
in the Super Bowl? Yes, that is the game.
That is so thrilling.
Wow.
Go Falcons, right?
Yeah.
I'm not going to say that publicly except for on this podcast because, you know, I'm not actually a fan. Gotcha. But for the sake of Atlanta, I hope they do indeed rise up.
Yeah. It's been a while for us.
I remember the last time the Falcons went to the Super Bowl. I was a wee lad, and I remember my mom painted this like falcon on the side of my face because we went to like this giant party, and I'm pretty sure we played the Broncos and lost. So, I'm not going to paint a falcon on the side of my face again because that was just bad luck last time.
Though,
so,
if you wanted to,
it would not be good for us. We've already lost with it.
That Falcons tattoo or paint on your face would match your outfit perfectly today.
It would. Preston, what if you changed the cheek that you put it on?
Like my butt cheek?
Yeah. Or the other side of your face.
I could do that too.
Yeah. Maybe it was just the side.
I think the curvature of the Falcon's wing would complement your ass nicely.
I think so.
You could wear assless chaps.
My nice birthmark on my
assless chaps to the game. You have a Falcons tattoo on your butt.
I wouldn't have good assless chaps because I have this giant birthmark at the top of my left ass cheek.
Oh, do you?
Mm-hmm. I'd like to see it.
It's
sometime.
Pretty big. It's like a good, I don't know. How big is that?
Just
like
tell people it's a tattoo.
How dark is it? Is it like a light?
It's pretty dark.
Yeah.
It's pretty dark. Mm. It's not like, that looks like cancer dark, but it's like, it's definitely darker than my skin.
Dude, you should see the scar on my back from the mole I had removed like a couple months ago. It is gnarly. Like, it is not healed at all yet. It freaks Casey out every time she sees it. It's on my back.
It's
just like a gaping red hole in my back.
It's like that big.
It's
stick your finger in.
Not
does it
quite
look like one of those
the
marks?
Hole itself has healed over, but the mark of where they cut out all the skin is like this big, and it looks like just death. And
you know those suction things that people do and they like make those red circles that look like that?
No. Okay.
Like
thankfully not.
Yeah. Have you seen those like people that I don't know what
a lot
for.
Of the swimmers
for,
did at the
yeah,
Olympics.
They're for swimming,
oh yeah. Yeah, I remember that.
Apparently it helps with circulation or something.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's kind of weird.
It freaks me out. I saw a guy at the gym that had those like red marks. I was that's nasty.
Bro, you're not an Olympian. Take it easy. Let's dial it down. Not sure.
I just started
LA Fitness in Cumming, Georgia.
I started working out last week. I heard read online. This will help me out.
It's what Phelps does, man.
Changed my life.
That's great.
Guys, it is a pretty crappy day in terms of weather.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
We've
Saturday,
had a great
but,
week,
though,
here in Georgia.
We have. It's like in the 60s, 70s after it snowed last week.
It's not cold. What the heck? I am like really sad. I love just like the 50s, 60s weather where I can like wear a comfortable jacket, but I'm like wearing short sleeves everywhere, so I'm pretty bummed out. But today's a perfect day to play some video games.
It is.
So I probably won't be playing any video games today due to me being busy, but
same with me, unfortunately.
Yeah, it'd be great for you guys at home, play some video games for sure for me.
Please.
But speaking of video games, what have you guys played this week?
Well, the whole week I didn't touch a controller because of work, but Sunday we shot a bunch of Let's Plays, played some Doom, played some Halo 5, which I really, really had fun with. A little bit of Overwatch, I think that was it for me on Sunday. That's the only games I got to play all week, which really sucks, but which I have to apologize. I like to even if you don't enjoy the Let's Plays, those of you that even find the slightest bit of enjoyment in our Let's Plays, they were lacking this week because I was so swamped between work and school that I literally, up until this sitting down to do this podcast, I have not stopped working on either a school project or a work project except to take about 3 to 4 hour naps every night before I go back and do it again. So I've not been able to stop working, which really sucks. But as I've said in the past, when you guys post stuff on the PSN community or share stuff with us on Twitter or anything, it's fun for me because I get to stay in the loop of everything going on with you guys, so I appreciate that. But yeah, didn't get to play anything other than those. But Halo 5 very specifically, cool. Loved it. I forgot how much fun that game is. You and I had a lot of fun with it back in the day.
Yeah, we did. That sucks. I'd have to like redo my Xbox subscription. We
still get a crap ton of those things we paid for.
I've completely forgot about that.
Yeah, every time I get on now, I open like 10 and get a ton of stuff.
Oh, dang. I don't even have my Xbox at my house right now, so I couldn't do it if I wanted to.
Did you give it to your girlfriend?
Mm-hmm.
It's a Netflix machine. She still has it.
Pretty much. She didn't even know it could do Blu-rays. I like told her that it like blew her mind. So yeah, she'll get some good use out of
I've actually recently thought about giving my Xbox, like trading it in.
Really?
Yeah.
Ever since they canceled Scalebound?
There's nothing to play on it next year. Like, Sea of Thieves is like the only thing I'm mildly excited about.
I was going to save this for later in the podcast, but now that we're talking about this, I'll say it now. Now, I want it to happen, and to me, it makes a lot of sense for Microsoft and Xbox, considering they've canceled so many exclusives. I think this would be smart for them to do. They may already be doing it, they may not, and here's the reason why. This is my prediction, and I'll explain why it's probably not going to happen. My prediction is that on September 25th, 2017, they will release Halo 3 Remastered. Why I say that is because that is on the day, the 10-year anniversary. It's also right at the beginning of fall, and they have no, as far as we know, other than Crackdown and Sea of Thieves and all that, they don't have any major exclusives. And obviously, Halo's a very huge franchise. It's like, wow, we canceled Scalebound, might as well throw our Halo in there. And everyone loves Halo 3. It's been 10 years. 10 years of technology has advanced. I think you can still spruce it up a bit. Granted, Master Chief Collection has Halo 3, and it runs and looks great still to me, running at 60 frames. So, technically speaking, it's kind of pointless, but...
What if they just did the Master Chief Scorpio Edition collection?
What do you mean?
Like, took the Master Chief Collection and then
like
threw
up-resed it all
on
to
the Scorpio. Yeah,
that'd be interesting. I'd rather them do that, honestly.
I feel like that'd probably be smarter than just taking Halo 3. Why Halo 3? Is that just a random...
It's just because it'll be the 10-year anniversary on the 25th.
Of Halo 3?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
It might just be like Pro, like PlayStation Pro, where they just have like a patch to up-res the game that's already out.
Oh, yeah, that's true,
no,
too.
No, I don't need that, but I forgot about that. I could see them doing that, and that'd be cool. But I think I still see Halo 3, and I still think it looks really good for its
time. They didn't remaster 3. Like, they only did 2 in the Master Chief Collection?
Correct, yeah.
And if the Scorpio is essentially like the Pro, you should already be able to play Halo 3 on the Scorpio.
Yeah. I mean, Halo 3 running at 60 frames is great for me, so it's enough. But that was my prediction. I said, I think that's a possibility. But
I think there's definitely going to be a Scorpio patch for the Master Chief Collection, probably. That'd be kind of dumb for them not to, and especially Halo 5. That's got to have a Scorpio patch. That probably would be coming... before that, I no doubt think this E3, they're going to show Halo 6.
No,
for
definitely.
Sure.
Even if it's just a teaser trailer, yeah. For sure.
But I definitely think on the anniversary, like you said, of Halo 3, they just do like,
do something for sure.
We're going to have a Halo event, maybe show some more stuff of Halo 6, and then be like, we have the Scorpio patch, but we don't even know when Scorpio's coming out, so it could be. I have a feeling Scorpio's probably coming out later than that anyways.
Yeah.
So that kind of seems probably more like November-ish, kind of like every other console ever besides Nintendo. But that's a... Thanks for the prediction.
Yeah, Jared. Guys, I'm probably wrong, but it might be obvious to some people. But that crossed my mind this week for some reason. And I was like, that could maybe happen. But I doubt it, but that's what I thought of.
Okay.
What else you play this week, Jacob?
I pretty much only touched Skyrim this week. I ended up actually beating the game. Surprisingly, I wasn't expecting like a really compelling story, but I was like really... like I thought they did a good job with Skyrim, the main storyline.
The main story?
Yeah.
What's the dragon's name? Alduin or something?
Yeah, Alduin is the evil dragon. The one that was like helped him in the Dragon Wars and like helps you on top of the mountain is
Parthrax or something.
Yep. Parthrax or something. Parthrax.
He's voiced by like somebody famous. I forgot.
Neil Patrick Harris.
Yeah. Exactly.
I ended up not killing him. I decided to stop helping the blades. Just a little side note. But I finished the Thieves Guild quest. I don't have the last trophy. I need to do like side jobs.
You have to do like an obscene amount of side quests for the Thieves Guild.
I mean, I haven't got the 100,000 gold yet, so that'll help me get towards that. Mm-hmm. So I think I'm at like 75K right now.
Nice.
And I still need to get like the bounties to 1K in like 9 holds. And I have a couple other trophies, and I need to do the Dark Brotherhood stuff still. But I've pretty much done most of the game, so
nice.
It's pretty cool. Really enjoyed my time with it. Like I was telling you, I'm kind of done with playing Skyrim, so I'm just trying to like grind it out before Kingdom Hearts comes out this Tuesday. Mm. I'll be playing that while you guys play Resident Evil. So we'll have two different kinds of Let's Plays this week. You're not going to play it?
I'll be out of town, and I really want to play Resident Evil in VR.
Like, as do I.
I want to play the whole game in VR. So
you could take it with you.
No.
That'd be hell.
Nope. That's one. No, not taking that with me. It's hard enough to just take my regular PS4 That's on true. The go with me.
Yeah, there's a lot of cables and shenanigans
yeah.
with all that.
No.
I don't blame you. But yeah, I'm looking forward to Tuesday. It'll be the first time I've played any kind of Kingdom Hearts since I was like in middle school.
Yeah, I haven't played probably since earlier, middle school either. So. Are you going to bring it over and do some Let's Plays with old Papa?
Yeah, if you're free.
No, I would. Well, hopefully. Yeah, hopefully I can make at least an hour of time free. But that would be wonderful. I'd love to see it in action.
Yeah, we'll have to work something out.
Certainly. What'd you play, Preston?
Yeah, that's all I played.
I finished The Witcher 3. Platinumed it for the second time. Mm. Thank you. I think my final hourly count was like around 80.
Jeez.
I know.
How much was your first playthrough? Do you remember?
Probably over 100 because I didn't really know what was going on my first playthrough, right. And I kind of took it in more. Whereas after the main story, when I was going through the Witcher contracts, I was just spamming through everything. I was like, all right, let me just kill this thing just to like kind of get it over with.
I can't believe you platinumed that game twice. It is such a huge game.
I know. That I didn't realize how big that game was when I was like more than halfway through. I was like, holy crap, this game is so huge, and I'm like not even doing the expansion stuff. So like, If I thought kind of towards the end, I was like, all right, well, I'm going to 100% all the DLCs as well. And the second the platinum popped, I was like, all right, I'm done. I love that game is so freaking good. Obviously, like that's like everybody in the world has said that already. But yeah, that game is so great. But I think I'm done with it forever. I've played enough of that game to like last this lifetime. But I definitely appreciated playing it again, and I definitely recommend if for some reason you have not played that game, you definitely need to pick it up.
Speaking of The Witcher, when I was, I had to redo an entire stage this past week, like strip it entirely and put it back together, which took me like 2 whole days to do. And most of that time I was in the mood to listen to really chill music. So I pulled up a 10 hour version or something of the Skellige music from The Witcher. I just listened to it for like 4 hours straight while I was working.
That's great.
It was the most peaceful thing in the world.
I was waiting to get to Skellige just to hear the soundtrack. Mm-hmm.
That's probably my favorite moment of The Witcher 3 was arriving and exploring Skellige for the first time.
Yeah.
That was my favorite.
Cool. So I played that, and once I platinumed it, I just wanted to go on to something else. I still have The Last Guardian to finish. Well, let me talk about something else prior to finishing The Witcher. I noticed the entire time I was playing The Witcher, and I already told you about this, I noticed that everybody in the game looked like they had been applying bronzer and going and getting a spray tan. And I was like, what in the world is happening? And this, I've already been thinking this. When I played Final Fantasy, I noticed that, especially during the cutscenes and when I was outside, Noctis and the gang looked like they were a part of the Jersey Shore. And I was like, why are my characters like orange? Like, is it my TV?
Well, who are these carrot people?
Exactly. Is it the pro? Like, why are they so orangey?
And you said that in our Doom video too.
Yeah, and we played Doom and I was like, I couldn't even see anything. Orange was just like an explosion in my face. I was like, I even asked you, I was like, can you see anything? Like, this is ridiculous. So it was as easy as me just going into my settings, and I had the color option all the way to 100 for some reason, and it was saturated to death. Like, everything was just saturated, so I turned it down and like everything looks fine now. So so yeah, that was something I'd been dealing with for like a month or two, and
I had
no clue that like
has it always been like that since you've had your pro.
No, I like calibrated my TV again, and I think I accidentally maxed out the color because I was like, oh, color, I want that all the way up. And I like didn't realize that like I was saturating the crap out of everything. But once I turn it back down to 50, like everything looked really good. Nice. So, yeah, that's what I did. So yeah, anyways, I got that taken care of, and then I moved on to The Last Guardian. I played about this entire week, I probably played another 4 or 5 hours, And I got to a part that I think that a lot of reviewers had complaints about in terms of me telling Trico to do something and he didn't want to do it. And it pissed me off to no end. I was screaming at that stupid dog like crazy. You push R1 to scream at him, and I was just smashing it, telling I had to get him to dive underwater, and he refused to dive. And I was like, my girlfriend was watching me play, and she was like laughing her head off at me because I was like screaming at this fucking thing to jump in the water, and I'm like holding on to him, and I'm like, like pointing, telling him to go underwater, and he'd finally like would go skadoosh underwater, and he'd like look at the hole, and then he'd come back up, and I was like, oh, fuck, like why just go in the hole? And then he'd crawl out of the water and shake and then just stare at me, and I'm like in the middle of this pond like screaming at him to come, and he'd like dive in, and like the waves would like push me away, and I'd have to like swim to him again. I figured out that, like, and a little tip if you're playing this, and a tip for you guys, actually point the camera where you want him to go. I like pointed the camera up, and like he did it the first time, so it doesn't really tell you that. But that's what's also so cool about this game, and I've heard a lot of reviewers say that this isn't a good excuse, but I think it, I don't know if it was purposely made this way, you telling him to do stuff, but it, I'm kind of rambling on here, but what I mean to say is it is a really cool gameplay mechanic, even if they intended this or not, trying to communicate with an animal and you don't speak the same language. So it's like you're trying to tell this animal to do something, but like you can't just say, hey, do this, and he automatically does it. It's like you have to be like, you know, trying to explain to your dog how to do something. And, you know, he's a freaking dog. You can't tell him, hey, jump over here and do this stuff. You have to like point at it and like be like, yes, come over here, do this and stuff. So especially owning, you know, pets and stuff, like this game speaks to me a ton, because I've had those moments where like you're trying to get your dog to do stuff and it's just like so frustrating. You're just like, just do, you know, eat your food, just do something, and he won't, and you're like getting pissed off, but then the next hour you're like hugging it and you're like, you love it to death, and like you're not mad at it at all. And that's the same exact feeling I get with this game. Like I was telling Trico, like, I hope in the ending you get your fucking head chopped off. Like, I hope you die a horrible death, and I will not feel sad at all. But within the next hour, I was like, I will cry if you die. Yeah. Like, you can't do this. And I got to, like, one of the few cutscenes in the game that's explaining the story more, and the story is super compelling. Like, I still don't know what's going on, but I know, like, how some events were set up. So I'm extremely interested to see, like, what exactly is going on. Like, what does The Last Guardian even mean? What is, like, why are we here and stuff? So but yeah, super awesome. I'm loving the game. It completely grabbed me with feelings for this animal. So and it's really cool. It blows my mind how like realistic it is. Like, I forgot it was like not real. Like, it just, the way it moves, the way it acts, the way it like scratches itself, the way it like cleans itself, the way it just sniffs everything, and like when it wants food, it'll like paw at it and stuff. It's like a freaking animal. Like, it's so real. Like, it is an extremely, the only thing that like kind of takes you out of the immersion is the occasional frame rate drop when you go outside, but the game is absolutely gorgeous, especially on the pro and stuff with HDR. Like, oh my gosh, it looks amazing.
I bet.
But yeah, besides those occasional frame drops that happen like not a lot, just in a few areas, that's the only thing that really takes you out where you're like, oh yeah, this is a game. But extremely immersive game. I love it. So I can't wait to get back to it. I don't want to play it out of town, so it's probably going to be another 2 weeks before I get back to it, because that's a game like I want to be involved in. I don't want to be playing that in some crappy hotel. So and besides that, I've been playing Assassin's Creed Syndicate a lot. I know that's like weird and that came out of nowhere, but for some reason I had an urge to play Assassin's Creed, and I've been having a lot of fun with it. There are those problems that, you know, we have with Assassin's Creed and stuff, but I've been able to do a lot of cool stealth stuff. Like, I've been able to do missions without being caught and like killing these people in cool ways. Like, I'm using a lot of throwing knives, things that I never really did. I'm trying to experiment more with like using all the gadgets and stuff instead of just going in and killing everybody. And the game's a lot harder than the other Assassin's Creed games. Like, if you're not on the, you actually level up and stuff. Like, if you're a level 4 and you go fight level 6 guys, you'll get your ass kicked. Like, you have to be extremely sneaky around higher level guys and escape and stuff, or like kill them with, you know, hidden assassinations or knives and stuff, unless you're at the same level. But if you're like over a higher level, you're just like, it's like the other Assassin's Creed games. Like, you're just wrecking shop. You can just go in the middle of a group of people and just destroy them. But it's cool. The story's really captivating. Like, I don't remember it hooking me as much as it did. The future stuff, I don't give a crap. I'm skipping all of that. But just the actual story there, Evie, you play as two twins. Evie has her own story going on where she's like really dedicated to finding this piece of Eden, whereas Jacob, her brother, was really set on like building his gang and like overthrowing the Templar. So they kind of had two different goals, and I'm assuming, like, you know, come together towards the end. But yeah, it's pretty fun. The graphics are good. There was a pro update. It's not like the best pro update. It's I think it's just higher resolution, the checkerboarding or whatever, but frame rate's the same. But it looks fine. The lighting's pretty good in the game, and the character models for the two main characters are really good. But it's cool. I like the crafting, like the armor and the weapons you get, and the gauntlets and stuff you can get, like, looks super awesome. So, but yeah, it's been cool. I feel like that's probably the game that I'm going to be playing when I'm out of town. It's just a cool game that when I'm not doing a story mission, I can turn on a podcast and just kind of like, this area of the map, I need to collect these things, I need to kill this person to free up this area of the map and stuff. So it's just a good mindless game that I'm having a lot of fun with.
It's a Ubisoft game.
Exactly. So cool. That's kind of what I'm feeling right now. And like I told you, I'm not really not playing this game right after Unity. I've had like an entire year to have, almost like 2 years of rest from Assassin's Creed. So like, I'm not burnt out jumping back into this one, which is why I think I'm enjoying it a lot more than I did when I first tried to play it when it was initially released. So that's all I'm doing. I'm excited for Resident Evil. Like I said, I probably won't play it until I'm out of town, back in town, in the next 2 weeks, because I really want to play that on VR, the entire thing. So, yeah, that's what I've been up to.
That's wonderful. All this video game talk really depresses me because I miss my controller so bad. I still want to play Rainbow Six Siege. I want to get back into XCOM. I have Watch Dogs in my backlist. Resident Evil's coming out Tuesday. Kingdom Hearts is coming out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm dying. And shortly after that,
let me be the judge of Kingdom Legend Hearts before you buy it. It may not be worth it.
Well, this includes Kingdom Hearts 1 and 2, right?
Which one is this?
Because I know there's a version that has that coming.
There are three games that are not... They're like... Two of the games were on the 3DS, I believe, or maybe the DS.
It's just the DS.
Yeah, and then there's one.
Which one?
There's one new one.
There's Birth by Sleep, which was PSP.
Yeah, that's the one I'm excited
then
about.
There's like 300.
Dream Drop Distance.
Yeah, Dream Drop Distance.
Didn't we hear something about Kingdom Hearts 1 and 2 coming to
PS4? Yeah, they're coming out in March.
Oh, that's what
they're
going to
be on one disc. Both
that's
one and
what
two
I'm
and
excited
so
for.
Oh, so is 2 on this one?
No.
Oh!
No, this
that.
The one
yeah.
in January.
I thought this. I was actually interested in buying this one, but
no,
I guess not.
Yeah, you'll have to wait till March to get the first, like, the first six games they released on two separate discs. That's going to be one disc on PS4 in March.
I'm never going to play that. Coming out in March?
Yeah.
You kidding me?
Not in March, but I will pick it up.
Yeah. I'll probably not play in March either.
After I finish Legend of Zelda, we have to sit in limbo with our Nintendo Switch for about 9 months or whatever.
Yeah.
I will pick up Kingdom Hearts then, probably.
Yeah.
I don't know, but then Mass Effect's coming out at the end
of
the year.
You're
then
right.
Persona 5's coming out as well around that time and stuff.
Eventually.
And we still have Horizon and Zelda and stuff, so Lord knows whatever.
There's a lot
to
of
that,
big games coming out.
Yeah, I mean, the first half is 2016 is massive. Or 2017,
yeah.
So it's exciting.
Absolutely. Well, this is the It's Obvious Gaming Podcast, the show where my two best friends and I get together every single week to discuss video games, obviously. Please check us out at youtube.com/itsobviousgaming if you're checking us out anywhere but here. If you are not subscribed to us on iTunes, please subscribe to us there and leave us a review. We're also on Spotify, Audioboom, Google Play, pretty much every podcasting service. But our home base is at youtube.com/itsobviousgaming, so please come here and subscribe. Hey man, what's the news? Why are you laughing at me?
I don't know. I just think
your smile is so contagious, Jacob. Doesn't help with those
beautiful eyes
as well.
I need to write out a actual thing of what I just said. Because I say something different
every time. Well, I do the same thing with like a lot of our outros and our videos. I don't think we've ever had anything definitive. We just like kind of throw some words together. We're like, all right,
yeah,
bye.
Yeah, exactly.
But the first story, correct me if I'm wrong, Jacob, this is either still a leak or actually confirmed now. But
it was confirmed on social media.
Okay, good. So Overwatch's Year of the Rooster event is coming this week?
Yeah, tomorrow.
Cool. That's for the Chinese New Year, apparently. Yes. What can you tell us about it, Jacob?
Not much. It's the Chinese New Year. Yeah. It's a big deal in China, obviously.
There are skins for Mei, Winston, Zenyatta, Reinhardt, who's
Roadhog, Junkrat, and
Roadhog's kind of scared me. He looked like serial killer.
Yeah, he kind of looked
like a pig.
Yeah, like an actual pig.
Yeah, yeah. I like it though. He's he's a hog.
Yeah, hog.
D.Va has one. Her neck looks interesting.
I don't know if
I'm a fan of any of them, to be honest, but
she's in a skirt though.
That's true.
No, see, so you told me in our group text, you're like, dude, have you seen Overwatch's, you said Instagram?
Yeah, it's Twitter and Instagram.
Okay, well, like, D.Va's in a skirt. Yeah, blah, blah, blah. I was like, oh, sweet, I got to go check this out. So I go to their Instagram. I don't see anything of D.Va in a skirt.
Well, it was on
like,
the Korean...
it was, like, leaked or something, right?
No, they posted.
Oh, they did? Okay.
They posted the D.Va and the Mei pictures. What was leaked was all the other scenes.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
So that's pretty much all we know. We don't know, like, what the brawl will be or, like, you know, how long it is, so...
Nice.
Yeah, well, I'm excited though. I like the events in Overwatch.
Yeah, me too. I get excited about new skins and stuff. And I have like maybe two skins that have been released. It feels like out of all the events because I never unlock any of them.
Right.
But yeah, that's pretty exciting. I guess I like Overwatch stuff, so that's pretty cool.
Speaking of events, it's not on here. Did you guys check out the Final Fantasy 15 Chocobo event?
I saw an image from it. I haven't watched the trailer.
Right, I watched the trailer and
tell me about it.
It looks so magical. You go to like this carnival that's like chocobo themed, and there's like guys wearing, it's like you're at Disney World, like they're wearing chocobo suits and stuff, and there's like mini games and like chocobo obstacle course races, and you're like wearing that cool shirt with like the chocobo hat with like the little spring on top like flopping around and stuff. It just looks like an amusement park you go to. It looks so cool.
I can just see Noctis being like, yeah, let's go ride some chocobos.
It's so hot.
It's so hot.
Your friends aren't with you. It was just Noctis in the trailer. Mm-hmm. But it looks cool. I'll try and connect to the internet at the hotel I'm at and download it, because I would love to play that. Apparently, it's a limited time as well. So check it out while you can.
You don't want to miss that.
I think my favorite relationship among characters in Final Fantasy 15 was Noctis and Gladio's sister when they're running around the city, and she's like totally into him, like blah blah blah, like let's go do this, Noctis, let's go do this, blah blah, and he's like, yeah. Like the whole time he just does not give a crap about her at
her
all.
Her name's Iris.
Iris, that's right. I thought that was so funny. But yeah, that's pretty cool, the Chocobo admit. That's exciting.
Yeah.
The next one comes from Luke Riley in IGN, quote, Sony... Not today, this is previously, but Sony has confirmed that PS4's YouTube app has been updated to allow PlayStation VR owners to enjoy 360-degree video content available on the service. The announcement comes via PlayStation's official Twitter account saying, PS4 at YouTube app has been updated to enable 360 videos when using PSVR. Find highlighted 360 videos here. That's also not... You can't see that. It's in the article, though. If you're looking for stuff to watch in 360 degrees, head over to IGN's dedicated VR YouTube channel here, and also be sure to check out our virtual tours of the Blizzard office and a pair of Tokyo's quirky Final Fantasy-themed cafes, end quote. Now, that's really cool.
That is cool.
I'll hop into some YouTube, and it gives me a reason to throw on the headset again before Resident Evil. I haven't put it on since... first couple weeks after it came out. Now, I know there's been some exciting experiences and even a game. What's that game called? Journey or something? Journey, what's it?
Oh, Robinson.
Robinson the Journey, is that what it's called? Yeah, I haven't played that. You said it was pretty good, though.
Yeah, I had fun with it.
Okay, so I haven't played much of VR, but I'm excited for Resident Evil, of course. Mm-hmm. And this is a pretty cool little nifty option.
Yeah, hopefully we'll be getting some more cool VR stuff, knowing that Guerrilla Cambridge was closed down this week.
It was, yeah. It was the Riggs developer,
the
right?
Riggs developer, which kind of sucks, because I've heard nothing but good stuff about Riggs.
Yeah.
And the demo sucked. Well, I'll be, you know, it was way too short. You really couldn't really play a lot of it, but I played it back-to-back a few times just to really get a hold of it, and once I actually figured out what I was doing, I actually had a lot of fun with it, so it sucks to see, like, one of the first, like, first-party games from Sony that was, like, you know, they were obviously pushing it to be like, oh, this is the big VR game that the studio gets shut down. So hopefully that doesn't, you know, show signs of like the future of VR. But I don't know. We'll see with Resident Evil, because from what, you know, we've played, it was really cool.
It was.
And it's how I want to play that game. So hopefully we'll get more experiences like that. But our thoughts are with those that have hopefully affected. Have just been... put onto other studios and stuff, because they are very talented dudes. Like, they made Killzone Mercenaries.
Was that the Vita game?
Yeah, which was they keep getting put on these consoles, and they make really good games, but it just doesn't sell well, so it kind of like sucks.
Yeah, it does suck.
But yeah,
it's a shame. You guys get a chance to check out the Yooka-Laylee multiplayer trailer.
No.
Okay, well, it looks a lot like Cookies and Cream. You remember that game, Preston?
I do. I got about halfway through it, and I couldn't take the dinosaur talking anymore, so I stopped watching.
I love the sound design in that game. I cannot wait to play it.
Is it like the Banjo-Kazooie talking?
Yeah, where they're like,
some reason the dinosaur was just annoying to me. I don't know.
That is the funniest thing in the world to me. That's like half the reason I'm excited to play it, all the funny noises the characters make. But it looks a lot like Cookies and Cream style. Co-op multiplayer, and there's a bunch of little mini games you can play.
Who do you play as? Is it like two different
characters? I think you play as different colored Yookas and Laylees, if I'm not mistaken, at least from what I remember. But it looks pretty fun to me. It's not something I'm gonna be like, dude, I'm so stoked for Yooka-Laylee multiplayer. It's gonna be sick at esports,
it's
man.
Like Mario Party mini games,
right?
Yeah,
that's kind of what it looks like, is Mario Party, and it reminded me of Cookies and Cream. You and I attempted to play that co-op on PS1. Was that
two.
What it was? Two.
That's two.
Okay, what was that game? Who developed that? Do you know?
No clue. I just know there was a two lanes, and one of you controlled Cookies, and the other was Cream.
And we had to rely on each other to get through the levels.
It was a cool cooperative puzzle type of deal. Right. But I remember, was it Cookie had the banjo and Cream had the maracas?
Yes. And it wasn't like they were white and brown, maybe?
I think Cookie was white. They were rabbits. Okay. Cookie was the white rabbit with the banjo, and then Cream, I feel like Cream would be the white one, but
Cream.
But Cookie doesn't. I'm envisioning the pink one with the maracas, and she doesn't look like her name would be Cookie. No. I think it's a she. She's wearing a dress.
Don't be. You got to be a little more politically correct nowadays.
Oh, yeah.
She could be anything, Preston.
You're right.
But I don't know. That was a fun game, but that's what it reminded me of. And funny news, well, I shouldn't even really say funny, I just thought this is not much of a surprise, but Call of Duty Infinite Warfare was indeed the best-selling game of 2016, despite all the ravenous hatred against it leading up to it and post-release.
Completely wrong.
Were you wrong?
Cookie is brown.
Look at this, Jacob.
This is a game?
And, yeah. Oh, yeah, dude. Me and Garrett used to play the crap out of this.
The Adventures of Cookie and Cream.
And we would like get past the first level.
Yep.
that was it.
Oh, man, I vividly remember
playing that.
It's
got decent reviews. It's got a 8.1 from GameSpot.
Wow.
Yeah.
Cookie and
Not
Cream.
Too bad. He had a banjo, though. I do remember that. Cookie had a banjo. Cream had the maracas.
You think it's on PlayStation now?
I don't think so.
That'd be pretty cool. So... No, that's pretty funny.
Yeah, going back to Call of Duty, I'm not surprised that it was number one. It has been for a long time. With each iteration.
All you haters, just make it stronger.
Yeah. Battlefield 1 did come in second, which is of no surprise. And Overwatch is actually towards the bottom of the list in the top 10, which is surprising to me, because I guess...
No, it did not count the Battle.net sales.
Oh, did it not?
Which is all the PC sales.
Okay, then,
so,
yeah, it's probably up there.
It probably
sure.
sold better than every game on that list, if we're, like, talking total. Maybe Call of Duty beat it. I don't know.
I could see it in the top three easily, because I didn't realize they didn't include those. So
it's safe to say
it's
definitely probably one of the best-selling games of the year.
Oh, absolutely.
So. I mean, all these games sold really well. So,
but I just thought
I wonder if Titanfall was on that list.
I don't think
it
was
on
the top 10.
The top 10?
It was not.
No, it wasn't.
Neither was Final Fantasy was like number 3 or something.
Yeah, I know Final Fantasy was in the top 10.
I saw the list, but I'm having trouble like remembering what was on it, but. Yeah.
So deserves to be there.
I know GTA 5 was on it again.
Was it really?
Year, yeah.
Wow.
It's ridiculous.
That game is an unstoppable beast.
I know.
It's going to be selling that well probably until GTA 6 comes out. And then the whole process starts over again.
Yeah. It's insane.
Mm-hmm. So would you guys rather talk about the two little movie trailers before our main topic, or you want to do the main topic first?
Talk about the movies.
Okay. Sure. So I didn't watch this myself. I watched the first 30 seconds of it. Do you guys watch the new Logan trailer?
Yeah, I watched the whole thing.
Okay, what'd you think?
Oh, it was cool.
Okay. I didn't want to watch it because I watched the first 30 seconds where, I don't want to spoil it for anyone who doesn't like to watch trailers, but, you know, they do the gas station scene happens and it cuts to a hotel room and something that Logan's holding and he's talking about it. I cut it off there. I'm like, that sounds really fun. I don't want to watch this right now. But I heard it's a great trailer and I'm really excited for Logan. But yeah, did you watch the trailer?
What's the girl's name?
Well, her quote unquote, I don't want to spoil it for anyone that doesn't want to know. Of course,
okay,
spoiler alert.
The girl is awesome.
Yeah, she is cool.
Her scenes at the beginning of the trailer are cool.
Mm-hmm. No, so. I'm excited to see them in action in a very Last of Us style superhero flick. So it's pretty cool.
I think it's going to be fantastic.
Oh, me too. I have very high hopes for it.
Trailers have sold me like completely.
Big time.
I'm so excited.
Yeah, I've never been more excited for a Wolverine movie. So this is, that's what's funny is that Wolverine has only gotten better as time has gone on. And he keeps claiming, oh, this is going to be my last time. But like, why would you? I know you've been doing it for so long, but why would you stop now when it's only getting better? But there is the heavy, heavy rumor and consideration that Hugh Jackman's making of doing a Deadpool slash Wolverine crossover movie, which I think would be the most, it would sell just through the roof. It'd be insane how well it would do. It would do better than the original Deadpool.
Would you like him to wear his original costume?
Yes, it would be perfect, dude. And I could see Fox begging Hugh Jackman to do this, because Ryan Reynolds is all in, and Hugh Jackman's made jokes, I think, about like, oh, maybe I'll do it, I don't know. But I guarantee you Fox is like, we will offer you as much money as you want to do this.
That would be such a good movie.
I mean, that's such a brilliant idea and money-making opportunity that it's almost inevitable that that's going to happen. So that'd be really cool. But
then and only then can that be his last movie.
Yes, I think that'll be a great send off. Like, have the serious like Logan film and then just the fun, goofy, ridiculous Wolverine Deadpool movie. Right. It'd be awesome. But
really quick, it says here Overwatch was 7, Final Fantasy was 10, and number 3 was The Division.
Mm-hmm. You said you jumped back into that briefly, didn't you?
Nope.
Recently, or did you just talk about it?
I just talked about it. The survival update looked pretty cool. Mm-hmm. If that were there towards the beginning, I probably would have played that a ton more.
Yes. But, speaking of the Division movie is coming along nicely, I've heard, as far as pre-production is concerned. Still has Jake Gyllenhaal and Jessica Chastain. And, of course, people are hoping it's going to be good. But after the tank of Assassin's Creed, which I've heard is not awful, but I've heard it's okay.
Did you end up seeing that, Preston?
No, I haven't gone to the movies yet. Every time I'm like, I'm going to the movies, I end up not going. Mm-hmm. So,
well, obviously everyone's back feeling a little somber about the fate of video game movies due to Assassin's Creed. Even if people found some enjoyment in it, it's just not quite critically praised like people would like it to be. But, of course, people are excited for The Division. And people have been saying for a while, man, there's never been a good video game movie. And Mortal Kombat was probably the closest thing we'll get to a half-decent video game movie. But I remember today, I was on the TV downstairs, my parents were watching it, Need for Speed with Aaron Paul. That is an awesome movie. Have you guys seen Need for Speed?
No.
Dude, it is. I forgot when I saw it in the theater. I was like, man, that's like a slightly more grounded Fast and Furious. And I thought it was awesome. And I love Aaron Paul. And I forgot, like, they have Michael Keaton, Aaron Paul, the guy from Mr. Robot. What's the other guy's name? There's the girl from 50 Shades of Grey is in it. The girl from Green Room's
in
it.
You mean the guy from Until Dawn? The main character?
Yeah.
That guy,
His bigger role.
Until Dawn.
Well, I haven't seen that show, so
yeah, it's a cool show. But I forgot how great the cast was, and just all the characters were a lot of fun, and the story made total sense, and it wasn't over the top, and I just thought it was a great movie, and I forgot how much I enjoyed it when I was watching it. And I'm like, that. I mean, they don't. Need for Speed has never necessarily had a narrative storyline per se. But as far as a movie with a video game title that is clearly based off of a video game, I thought it was great. I'm like, I keep forgetting that people fail to mention how good that movie was.
I like a guilty pleasure of mine is the Prince of Persia movie.
That's a guilty pleasure for sure.
I don't think that's as bad as it is.
Well, that's a fun one.
And
that was my first midnight release.
Oh, wow.
I think you and I went together.
Yeah, we did.
The lady in that is like obscenely hot, too.
She's very attractive. Mm-hmm. I think that's very Pirates of the Caribbean-esque type of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically 2 and 3 of Pirates of the Caribbean. The first one, I think, is clearly the best, but 2 and 3 just kind of have that goofy, ridiculous pirate adventure, and this seemed like a goofy Persian prince adventure.
And I like Jake Gyllenhaal a lot.
Me too.
Check out Demolition if you hadn't. Really good Jake Gyllenhaal movie.
Now, I have not seen Nocturnal Animals either. I know that's been out, but I've heard that's just okay, so I haven't seen it yet.
Is he in that?
He's in it with, what's her name from Arrival, and she's Lois Lane in Batman v Superman. But, you know, Amy Adams, that's her name.
Yes.
I think.
I want to see that too, Arrival.
Oh, it's very good.
Yeah.
It's one of the best movies I saw last year by far. Okay, moving on. The Power Rangers trailer. I have something to say about this.
Tell me, Garrett.
It looks so dumb. It looks so goofy. And it looks cheesy. And to me, that is Power Rangers. And I am freaking pumped for it, dude. I saw this trailer, man. I was like, man, this is the biggest goof fest I have ever seen in my life. And that is exactly what Power Rangers is. And I was like, this gets me super excited. Of course, the visual effects look a little rough, but I've seen worse. Maybe when the final movie comes out, it'll look a little better. Granted, it comes out in, I think, 2 months. So, but kudos to Legendary and the studio behind producing this movie for waiting to release a full-on trailer just shortly before the movie releases, because a lot of movie trailers have been coming out a year in advance or 6 months in advance. I'm like, why are you releasing a trailer now? Sure, it generates fan interest, people get excited, but I feel like that dies down and then it has to build back up again before the movie.
You gotta make a new one to spoil more of the movie.
Yeah, I think the marketing so far for it has been great. I haven't seen anything on TV or much of it online, but as far as, with the exception of the trailers, I've seen, they released the teaser trailer, got everyone excited, oh, this looks pretty cool, and released the full trailer. I got everything I wanted out. We got to see a morph, we saw Alpha 5, we saw Zordon.
Yeah, we heard Bryan Cranston speak.
We did.
Zordon.
Alpha 5 just freaks me out. It looks so weird.
Yeah. We saw the Zords. We saw the Megazord at the end. Mm-hmm. And I can't remember that gold guy's name. I think he has an actual name. I'm not an expert in all the Power Ranger names. We saw Rita Repulsa.
Gaidron.
Gaidron?
I'm just kidding. I don't know.
I wouldn't be surprised at this point. But I think the suits, when they were walking and stuff, I'm like, that looks badass. I think the suits look really cool. I really like the shot of when Jason is reaching into the car to help the girl out. Have you guys seen the trailer?
Yeah.
Okay. That shot looks cool. I like the part where he's like crawling through the dirt all torn up and stuff, like that looks cool. Mm-hmm. The fighting looks cool, and they're fighting the Putty Patrollers on that mountainside, and like that looks like classic Power Rangers to me. So mm-hmm. I'm really stoked about it. What do you guys think?
Yeah, it's gonna be cool.
I wasn't allowed to watch Power Rangers as a kid.
Really?
Yeah, so I don't know why. But I just don't have that connection to Power Rangers. Mm-hmm. Because like I said, I didn't really watch it as a kid. But I know it's goofy from what I've seen of Power Rangers. It's, you know, straight up Japanesey goofiness. So this does look interesting to me, and I tend to like more movies like this. Like I enjoyed the TMNT movies because they were just like ridiculous and just cool popcorn flicks, and that's exactly what this looks like.
Yeah.
So I'm definitely looking forward to see it.
I have heard two very cool fan theories that I think would be brilliant for them to implement into the lore of this new Power Rangers franchise they're trying to create. They want to create like 6 movies, and I think that's possible. Jeez. If you have a narrative that drives it forward and people enjoy the cheesiness of it, like I certainly will. Now, the first theory we've heard that I think we've discussed in the past is that Rita Repulsa was originally the Green Ranger back in the day, and that's why her armor looks more mystic and ancient. And you can see in the trailer, she's green at one point, and then later on, whether it's later in the movie or earlier, I'm not sure, she's in all black, like kind of more traditional Rita Repulsa, which is interesting. But I've heard that originally she was the Green Ranger who betrayed the Rangers, and that's why in the trailer she's, I've killed Rangers before. So that'd be interesting to me if she betrayed the Power Rangers back in the day and she became this evil
entity.
What's
her name? Rita Repulsa?
Rita Repulsa, yeah.
Man, what a name.
Yeah. And then I've also, now this rumor is even cooler to me, and I hope that this is the case, because I think it would make Zordon so much cooler than he is, because you know, in the original, he's just a bald man in a tube that goes, "Congratulations, Power Rangers. That's how Alpha, bring me teenagers with attitude." So he looks like an idiot in the original, and now he's that moving face on a wall that kind of looks like, what's that thing you can, what are those toys called? They have the yeah. metal needles. It
yeah,
kind of looks like that.
About.
But he's like swooping around the room talking to them, which is kind of cool. And Bryan Cranston was the voice of a couple Power Rangers villains back in the day, like way back in the day.
Oh,
in the
really?
90s. Yeah, so it's kind of cool that he's back. But I've heard a theory that it's almost a Wizard of Oz situation where, of course, you see his face in the wall, but within the ship is very Darth Vader-esque from, you haven't seen Rogue One yet. I don't want to spoil this for you.
It's already been, everything's been spoiled
okay.
for me.
Well, spoiler alert for Rogue One, just in case.
Are
I'll
you sure?
You 5 seconds. Yes. Well, it's been, if you're a Star Wars fan, you've seen it by now. It's almost February. So,
all right.
Darth Vader is in a back to tank of the movie, healing, like he's all strung up in all these tubes. I've heard a theory that Zordon was the original Red Ranger who was so dreadfully injured, I'm assuming by Rita Repulsa in this version of Power Rangers, to where he was put in a tank to survive. Mm-hmm. And he like basically communicates through that wall.
That's cool.
I'm like, that would be so awesome if that's the case. I would love that. I think that would be a really cool backstory for the Power Rangers, and that's why they need replacements and these new teenagers with attitudes are taking over. But I think that's a really cool theory. But like I said, the trailer looks really exciting to me, and I'm excited to see it in March, I think. Is it February
Very cool.
or March?
It's March.
March it is. But yeah, boys, that brings us to our main topic of the week. Horizon Zero Dawn versus Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild. Let's dive in. They're coming out within a week of each other, the same week?
The same week.
So February Horizon's 28th, Tuesday. Horizon Tuesday, and then March 3rd.
And Switch released that Friday.
Yeah, that is... What a week.
I didn't
games.
Realize it was the same week. That's terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's wild.
Which is definitely has me confused, and I'm sure it has a lot of people confused. because of these games being, you know, a little bit similar. You're both riding around shooting things, like I said last week, bow and arrows, both open world RPG-ish type games. I'm sure Horizon's going to be lean more towards the RPG nature, mm-hmm. while Zelda leans towards more the Zelda nature of things, where you're not particularly having like a skill tree and stuff to mm-hmm. follow. Who knows? That could be in the game. I'm pretty sure they would have said something by now. I'm pretty right. sure it's not. But I think the one of the main things we could talk with first is like, what are you? I mean, I'm sure we've already said this, but we can reiterate it a little bit. Like, what are you most excited to play in terms of, you know, these two games?
Oh man, dude, I will say I've told you, I've said this many times, there's a place within my soul that is the biggest Nintendo fan who's ever lived, but it's just a little piece, and it's like right over here. And then there's the rest of me that's more of the PlayStation guy, but...
You got a really big heart.
Yeah, it spans my whole torso. But I think I'm more excited to play Zelda first. Not that I'm obviously going to play Horizon beforehand because it comes out earlier, but I'm more excited to play Zelda now for two reasons. One, the Switch is brand new hardware, brand new gaming experience. That alone has me very excited. Plus, I just recently beat Ocarina of Time, and I'm still on that Zelda kick. I'm like, man, that game was so good. It took me like 10 years to beat it. I'm so excited to play the next one. So... And I think everyone knows that scene in Breath of the Wild looks incredible. Mm-hmm. And it almost seems like the, like how Need for Speed is to Forza, like the arcade version of a game versus a sim version of a racing game. Mm-hmm. It's almost like Zelda is like the arcadey RPG to Horizon that's like an actual RPG. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean to downplay Legend of Zelda. It's just much simpler. Like you can cook, you can change your outfit depending on the weather. You can do all kinds of stuff. I mean, there's still a bunch of the game we haven't even seen yet. But I'm just excited to jump into that very colorful, artsy world in Legend of Zelda with this narrative that seems to be pretty compelling based on the trailers.
Oh, yeah.
And explore this open, gorgeous land. And is it, I assume it's in Hyrule still. Is it always in Hyrule?
I'm assuming it's in Hyrule. The only game that, off the top of my memory, doesn't have a foot in Hyrule is Majora's Mask.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So I'm just so excited to jump into that world and see what it has to offer. Because there's a lot more mystery... so far, because I've seen more of Horizon than I have of Legend of Zelda, so there's just a lot to explore in the game. So just from an exploration and world standpoint, I'm very excited to see what's all in store for Legend of Zelda. The Horizon hand, obviously there's that story, where do these robots come from? There's these enemy human factions. You're, what's her name again? Aloy.
Yeah.
These questions, Aloy. Maybe the... what does he say in the trailer? He's like... Maybe the answers are worse than not knowing. I saw that trailer so many times during E3 that I can quote the entire thing practically. But yeah, we get to find out those secrets. I'm excited to play as Aloy and level her up with all these skills and abilities and taking out bad guys and mounting robotic mooses. So it looks really cool. But as I said, I'm probably more excited right now for Legend of Zelda. What do you think, Jacob?
Horizon Zero Dawn.
Boom.
I'm not getting the Switch right. until later, so mm-hmm. obviously my choice is Horizon. That game's probably been like my most anticipated game for a couple of years now. You know, I've always really wanted to play it. It's always looked so good. The story is so compelling. The trailers, like I've said something prior in this podcast, that completely sold me with the trailers. I just really want to play it, and it's coming out very soon. I'm totally excited for it. Now, since my easy explanation was said, what is your choice?
It's very hard for me. I have this is how excited I am for both of them. What are you talking about?
Don't choose the wrong one.
Oh, I'm not going to. Initially my pick is going to be both. I'm going to have a cop out. But I have the collector's edition for Horizon pre-ordered, and I have the collector's edition for Zelda pre-ordered along with a Switch. So, needless to say, obviously I'm excited for both games that I'm putting my eggs in the basket of, like, yes, I'm going to throw down all this money and I'm going to buy these two collector's editions. Secondly, my main hype for Horizon, honestly, was its, like, let me retake that. My main hype for Horizon was obviously just because it looks awesome. I like guerrilla games. I'm really into open world games. I really like RPGs. But it had this Zelda-ish flair to it. Even though Zelda hadn't really been open world up until this point, it looks just like PlayStation's version of Zelda, which already was very interesting to me. So that, you know, definitely piqued my interest in Horizon. I even put Horizon in our E3 discussion above Zelda in my most hyped games. Mm-hmm. However, having Zelda, like, literally a month away, or is it a month away? Or no, 2 months. Well, no, it's about,
it's about a month.
About a month, a little bit over a month away. My hype for Zelda is just getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, where my hype for Horizon is still up there. I'm just not really looking at stuff for Horizon, whereas I follow these Zelda pages on Facebook, and they're constantly posting things like, this isn't a spoiler, but if you really don't want anything about Zelda, I guess close your ears for a second. But they confirmed that Epona is in this game. Mm-hmm. But they said they're not telling you how to get her. Mm. So just hearing that, knowing that that's in there, I'm even more excited for that game for some reason. I'm just like, there's so much stuff I want to find. I want to know if I can find the green tunic and stuff. Like, there's just things like that in the back of my mind that I'm thinking about how I want to play the game and the things that I want to find, whereas I'm not having that thought with Horizon. I'm just like, I want to play Horizon. I bought Horizon as one of the things that made me buy a Pro, because the game looks absolutely ridiculous running on that thing. Mm-hmm. And the story, like Jacob was saying, all the story trailers that have released, and just knowing, like, what are these robots? Where are they coming from? The gameplay looks really fun. The gameplay loop looks fun, like, in terms of the crafting and, like, hunting these animals and stuff, and hearing that there's towns you can go to and stuff, and there's, like, underground parts, and like you said, there's the enemy factions and stuff that I didn't even think about when they were initially shown the game. That still has me pumped, but for some reason, just, like, my inner old-school Nintendo, like, fanboy is just, like, coming out every time I see Zelda. Just, it, like you said, looking so cartoony, and just I haven't played, like, a Zelda game like that since, like, Twilight Princess was released, because I liked Skyward Sword, don't get me wrong, but that just really didn't scratch the Zelda itch that I was still having. Mm-hmm. Whereas this looks like it's going to do that big time. So I think I can give, like, a more concrete answer in what I'm actually playing over the other when they actually come out. Because as of now, I am probably a little more psyched for Zelda, only because it's coming on new hardware. And we just saw a press conference with the big trailer, with the emotional story. I'm hearing all these things coming out. So that's probably obviously why I'm a little bit more hyped for Zelda. But my hype for Horizon is, like, through the roof. I think that's going to be a great game. I know they're wanting that to be one of PlayStation's next big franchises, and I hope it does really well. So, yeah, I think I'm just going to have a constant balance between the two. But every time I try and do that, one always grabs me a little bit more, and I can't stop playing it.
Mm-hmm.
So who knows which one it'll be. It always tends to be the one I don't expect.
Okay.
Quick example, one Christmas I got Fallout 3 and Far Cry 2, mm-hmm. and I was pumped out of my mind for Far Cry 2, mm-hmm. and I ended up playing Fallout 3 like the rest of the year, and I hardly even touched Far Cry 2. Mm-hmm. So who knows? I guess that'll be something to definitely in the podcast after the release to keep touch on and stuff, like which one we're invested
in.
We'll
come
stuff.
Back to you, see what happens.
Yeah, absolutely. I think another good question would be, which one do you think critically is going to do better?
Man, that's tough.
If Horizon is as good as I think it's going to be, then they're both going to be Game of the Year contenders for sure. I don't know. It's tough to say.
Do you think with Horizon being a new IP, it's going to be scrutinized more
than what I was
Zelda
thinking.
Being
I think
like,
it's,
oh, well, it's Zelda. Like, it's Zelda.
Plus, it's like almost, I know certain critics are upset with the fact that Nintendo's hardware doesn't compete with PlayStation 4 or Xbox One. And so there will be some critics that will say, will judge Zelda based from a Nintendo's perspective. Well, this is Nintendo, so it's okay for this reason or that reason. Whereas Horizon's coming to PlayStation and PlayStation 4 Pro, where people have an expectation of performance. And, I mean, of course, story and gameplay factors into that as well. But I almost feel like Horizon will be critically judged harsher than Legend of Zelda for some reason.
I think they're both going to be around 8.5.
I think Horizon's going to be an 8. It looks like an 8 to me. And it's unfair to me to say because I've never played it. It's like judging a book by its cover or something. But for some reason, I just get an 8 feeling.
Based
out of
on
it.
The previews I've heard for just, I've heard nobody say the game isn't fun to play, mm-hmm. and I've heard nobody really in the, I'm sure there's just general people like saying it looks bad, but in terms of the game's media, I haven't heard anything bad about the game,
right.
which is typically a good sign. So I'm thinking probably high 8s, low 9s,
mm-hmm.
whereas I'm thinking the exact same thing for Zelda as well. Unless there's something they're hot, because we essentially know what Zelda's going to be. Mm-hmm. They've showed it to us. There are these open worlds. You can tame horses. You can go wherever you want to.
You can cook.
You can cook. There are these shrines you can go to. There's apparently some golf mini game I read about.
You can climb anything.
Yeah, like we essentially know what the gameplay of that game's going to be. We know what the gameplay of Horizon's going to be in the terms of we've seen what the fighting and stuff looks like, but does that make sense? We don't know, like, what it's going to be.
I know what
be.
You mean.
Like,
yeah.
We haven't seen, like, the... I think we've seen an accepting of a quest, going out and doing it and coming back, and obviously that's going to be in it. But, like, how is traversal around the entire world going to be? How is the story going to weave itself together? Which I read in an article that the Zelda story, no matter how you play it, it still works.
That's interesting.
Somehow the story still plays out, and the way that you play the game, depending on, I'm assuming, how many shrines you go to and stuff, the ending is different. Because in Zelda, you can just go to the final boss and just beat him, if you can beat him,
mm-hmm.
and it'll have a different ending than if you did other things. So that's pretty much just like, we can do whatever we want to in this Zelda game, which, what are the restrictions on Horizon?
Mm-hmm.
Like, are you going to be segmented off to areas? Like, how like is exploration going to work? Am I going to find random caves in Horizon? Are mm-hmm. there going to be like rare dinosaur robot species? Mm-hmm. Are there like, we just know more about Zelda, where I'm way more confident that Zelda is probably going to score higher based on what I've seen
mm-hmm.
than I am Horizon, because like, God forbid this happened, but I don't know. What if Horizon like has a really bad problem in terms of the way exploration or the way that quests are done? Or because mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of people aren't really too keen on Guerrilla in terms of telling a story.
That's because they've
never really had a captivating story. Granted, they got the writer of New Vegas, which was a good story to mm-hmm. help them flesh this story out.
Mm-hmm.
So, and like you said, based on the story trailers we've seen, it seems captivating. But if the story has a thud in terms of where these things come from, that's going to leave a bad taste in people's mouths and stuff.
Definitely.
I don't know if it's necessarily going to tarnish like the game overall, because there are some people didn't really appreciate the ending in Final Fantasy 15, but they said it was still a fine game and stuff. Mm-hmm. So I guess it depends on how bad the story is from, you know, what people think about, you know, think about it and stuff. So I don't know. It's definitely interesting. I think they'll relatively score around the same.
Yeah, so. I think you're right. Yeah, it'll be interesting for sure. Well, I'm thinking about something else we can cover between
these
two games.
You got me nervous now.
Or, you know, I wouldn't be nervous. I have full on, I wouldn't have bought, I buy collector's edition. I've never bought a collector's edition for a game that I just didn't feel it in my gut that it wasn't going to be at least really good.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I've been right so far.
Yeah, so far.
So far. I just, like I said, I haven't heard really anything bad about Horizon. People are psyched about it. They say it's fun to play. It looks fun to play.
It does.
So I just can't see it just blowing up in my face or everybody else's face that buys it. It just looks really good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think at least it's a good game.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, a 7.
Yeah.
At least. And if I'm wrong, then sorry.
I think it may be segment. I mean, most open world games are like this, but areas that are segmented off that you can access later on due to the fact of that demo we saw at the PS4 Pro announcement where she climbs that big giraffe dinosaur, the long neck dinosaur, mm-hmm. and she hacks it. I don't remember what they said about that, but it almost seems like that's in Assassin's Creed where you climb a tower, you can see all the objectives around. It almost seemed like that kind of style. I could be wrong, but we'll see, I guess.
That's definitely more entertaining than just climbing a pole or something, or a stationary building, like mm-hmm. having to chase this thing down. So
for sure. Looks really cool. Yeah, I'm trying to think of anything else we can cover between those two.
Don't force it.
All I know is I'm super excited about both of them. Now, here's a question. This will be our final question as far as between the two of them. If one of them had to be canceled, like, no questions asked, it just has to be canceled, it's over.
Yeah.
Like which one would you prefer for it to be canceled?
Oh, so essentially, like, which one, if you could only play one?
Yes.
That's what
would
I
you play?
Say.
Oh, Lord.
I'm going to say Zelda.
I'm going to say Horizon. That's easy for me.
Yeah, that's easy for you.
I never played Zelda.
There's two different things. I essentially bought a Pro for Horizon.
You bought a Switch for Zelda.
But I'm buying a Switch for Zelda. Yeah. I can take Switch forever with me.
Yeah.
Granted, Horizon has trophies.
And a Platinum.
Yeah. I'm going to have to say Zelda. I'm going to have to say Zelda because Horizon's a new IP, and mm-hmm. I just...
Wouldn't that kill you, though, for me to have the Platinum and you not to even be able to play it?
No.
Person's got 35 Platinums,
yeah,
Jacob.
Yeah, Jacob, get
but
on
he doesn't
my
have
freaking
the Horizon
level,
Zero
dude.
Dawn Platinum.
Not yet.
Yeah, but I'll well, you have be able 100% at Zelda on the Switch.
Yeah, where's but, your proof?
But I'll take a screenshot, duh. But no, I would definitely probably just have to pick Zelda just because it's Zelda. Like, I don't think I think I'd feel way worse about missing a game in a long lineage of games that I love as opposed to just missing out on a new game and a brand new IP.
And you don't even know if it'll be great, you know?
Yeah,
it could just be a dud. It probably won't be. But,
I have more faith, slightly more faith that Zelda is not going to bomb as opposed to Horizon bombing. I don't think either are going to bomb, but I think Horizon has a higher chance of not being good than Zelda has a chance of not being good. So, and that chance is very slight, but it's still there.
It is. So. Well, thrilling nonetheless. So many phenomenal games coming out in the next few months, and I could not be more excited and depressed because I won't have a lot of time to play.
Yeah, we
any
could
of
essentially
them.
Have this versus against everything coming out in March, but with Horizon, you know, and Zelda coming out in the same week, that's definitely going to be in a lot of, you know, hardcore gamers. That's going to be an extremely hard decision to make.
Absolutely. So. Speaking of those two games, if you're listening to this podcast on Monday, January 23rd. I think, yeah, the 23rd. We have put out a survey as of this podcast being released asking, which game would you rather us give away upon release? Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild or Horizon Zero Dawn? We're going to leave the survey up on Twitter. You can access it on Twitter, at It's Obvious Gaming, and cast your vote, because that will be one of those games will be our next giveaway, depending on what gets the most votes. So we're going to leave it up all week for you guys to go vote on that. We'll see how the polls turn out, and that's the game we will indeed give away upon its release, and we're excited about it. So we like giving away things when we can.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll probably try and do more of those, because it's we saw from our last giveaway, we had a lot of interaction, and we had a lot of people, newcomers come in that, you know, obviously more people are going to come in if you're giving away something and you know, they tend to stay and stuff if they like us, so we'll probably be doing that a little bit more, and it's fun to have these contests, get everybody hyped and stuff for new games coming out, so definitely check that out.
Mm-hmm. And let us know down below too, but definitely it'll help us a lot if you cast your vote on Twitter at It's Obvious Gaming. That helps us out a lot in determining that outcome.
You know what reminds me when you say cast that vote?
What's that?
Those stupid Facebook videos with that guy that like predicts something about you.
I hate
you.
Those videos,
like,
man.
Cast your vote now.
Yeah. No, I've seen one of those videos and I vowed to never watch another one again.
Hit the like button right now to cast your vote.
Yeah.
I just want to punch the guy through the screen.
I feel you, my friend, but I guess that does it for our main topic of Legend of Zelda versus Horizon Zero Dawn. We're pumped for both of them, and let us know on that poll which one you'd rather us give away. Moving forward to community questions, boys, got some fun ones this week, starting out with Falky. Excuse me, I meant to say you can also reach us at Twitter on It's Obvious Gaming, or at It's Obvious Gaming, Facebook at It's Obvious Gaming, same for our PSN community, Xbox Club, I already said Facebook, am I leaving anything out? Gmail, itsobviousgaming@gmail.com, all of that information is found in the link, the links of the description of all of our videos. You can find all of that information, our gamer tags, our PSN names, community names, email, Twitter handle, all that social media is all there for your access if you need it.
Use that hashtag #AskIOG.
Yes. And that always helps, especially this helps me determine whether you're just asking a question that you don't want to be public or want it to be on the podcast. If you, no matter where it's at, if you just do the hashtag #AskIOG, I'll know that you want us to discuss it on the podcast. Yeah.
And sorry, I accidentally answered a question in an actual YouTube comment. And so I know we didn't use it. So if that does happen and you weren't on the show, we apologize. We'll try and prevent that in the future.
Better luck next time.
Yes. But we appreciate your questions coming in this week. The first one comes, we have three from Falky, three short ones, but they're fun ones. Number one, have you guys ever been on vacation outside the USA?
No.
No.
I have arguably been on vacation.
I would say it
was a mission trip slash vacation because, well, I won't say vacation. That's not fair to say, but I went on a mission trip. The first one I went to was the Philippines, Cebu City in the Philippines. It's just south of Manila, which is the capital of the Philippines. And I've technically been to South Korea, but we had a layover there. My flight landed there, and we hung out in the Korean airport for 4 hours, and I took in that culture shock, which was interesting. It was a cool place, though. And went to the Cebu for 10 days, and we renovated an entire elementary school by clearing out all this terrible old furniture and repainting the entire place and putting it back together. And in addition to that, we helped launch the student ministry at a local church there that's coinciding with a church back in the United States. So that was really cool getting to meet Filipino students that were my age at the time. I believe I was a sophomore in high school. And the most amazing experience I had, I mean, I saw breathtaking places when I went there, but the coolest experience I had was when I was sitting on this mountainside on these steps of this like monastery place where they were having this youth camp for a weekend. And I'm sitting there, and his name's Roy. I haven't talked to him in a couple of years now, but we stayed in touch for about 6 months after I was there. But he and I sat down and just started talking about music, and he happened to like all of this, a lot of the same bands I liked at the time, especially. And we just talked about music and like metal and stuff for like an hour. And I was like, this is amazing that this kid literally on the complete opposite side of the planet has the same music taste as me, and we just talked about it. I thought that was pretty cool.
That's awesome.
But probably one of the more fun days there was when we went to the beach, and you could see mountains in the distance across this beach, and the water was like crystal clear, and there's coral reefs you could see, and turtles and fish, and there's this giant dock you could jump off of into the ocean. And then we had dinner on the beach as the sun was setting. You could see all that out in the distance. It was amazing. And the only other cool place I saw in the Philippines, the rest of it was all slums. It was crazy. They don't have traffic laws there. I saw a man fall out of a taxi door and hang onto the door, getting drugged down the street at like 50 miles an hour. I was like, that's not a sight you see every day. One of the first games we played with the students from the church there was called the Amazing Race TV show. It was like a mock of that where they gave you objectives. It was like a quest log to go around the entire city and meet all the objectives. And one of the like the side objectives was whoever can tally the most and prove it with pictures, the most people peeing on walls gets like a bonus prize. And I thought they were joking. We saw like 16 guys peeing on walls in the middle of the streets. I was like, what is this? My goodness. And granted, it's a different culture, different place. I wasn't like, ew. I was like, that's fascinating that that's actually a reality here. But it was pretty cool. And the only other amazing place I saw is actually something that's shared heavily on social media all the time. I can't remember the place, but it's in this forest where this water is completely like baby blue. Just like you're talking about oversaturating something. It's like an oversaturated water, how blue it was. And there's this waterfall there, and there's these big wooden log rafts that you can get on with these big paddles and go underneath the waterfall. And there's a big cliff that people can jump off of. And more times than not on Instagram, people will share this location in the Philippines. And I see videos like this on social media all the time where I'm like, wow, that looks like an amazing place. Shout out to you, Felipe, in Switzerland, because I see countless videos of Switzerland. I'm like, that looks like a magical place that I'd love to visit one day. But I see all these amazing places on social media. I'm like, wow, I'd love to go there. But whenever I see that one from the Philippines, I actually get to say, oh, I've been there. That's pretty cool. So I've been to the Philippines, and the only other time I've been out of the country, if I'm not mistaken, was when I went to Brazil. The city was called, it wasn't Sao Paulo. I can't remember the name of the city. It was south of Sao Paulo. But flew to Brazil for another mission trip a year or two later, and that was also an amazing place. Very mountainous there as well. I just remember a lot of bus rides that we took for a few hours and just massive mountains as far as the eye could see in either direction. In the city of school, I had a ton of rice and beans. I had rice and beans for every single meal for 10 days. In addition to that, we occasionally had chicken or steak with our meals, but all
sounds
the food
like
was great.
Meals.
Oh, it was. I mean, they were very good, but by the end, that food just ran through me so quickly that I was starving.
Beans tend to do that.
Yeah, and me and half my team were dreaming of Chick-fil-A like 6 days into the trip, and I've never been so satisfied with the Chick-fil-A meal than when my mother picked up Logan and I, our buddy Logan, from the airport, drove us straight to Chick-fil-A, and I had like three chicken biscuits. I was so hungry that time. But Brazil is an amazing place too. I'm trying to remember what we did there. We did something similar. My brain's dying. A church there, not a school this time, but a church needed their entire worship center completely redone from head to toe. I mean, I'm talking like painting ceilings and walls and tearing down walls and replacing them and building stuff. So that was fun, but met a lot of amazing people there too that I very occasionally talk to, maybe once or twice a year on Facebook or something. But those are two incredible trips that I will never forget. And I am very jealous of people that still have the opportunity to go on mission trips. I can't typically right now because of work and school, but I'd love to go on another one someday. And just vacation in general. There's countless places I'd love to see across the
I'd love to escape the U.S. one day. I got close. So I went to the Key West one time.
That's pretty close.
Yeah, that's the southernmost point in the U.S., so I almost escaped.
Right. I went there once for a sea camp field trip in middle school. When I was going to the middle school in Florida, the private school I went to, they went to sea camp to the Florida Keys.
What is sea camp?
We went to the Florida Keys, and we snorkeled a lot in the middle of the ocean. I saw a lot of barracuda. It scared me to death. They had a pool of nurse sharks there. You know what nurse sharks are?
No.
Well, these smaller sharks that will suction cup to you if you annoy them. And you have to have them surgically removed. That's how strong their suction is. And we learned about sharks and wild and sea creatures and stuff. And we stayed in these cabins in the Keys. It was pretty cool. It was pretty fun. I mean, at a private school, you can go on the world's most expensive field trips. We went somewhere else. I think they went, one older grade got to go to London for a field trip. I'm like, it's amazing. Man. But yeah, Keys are a pretty cool place. But I mean, I could go on and on about how much I'd love to travel around the world. But those are the only two places I've traveled outside of the country. Preston, if you go to one place out of the country, where'd you go?
Man.
I'd love to see Tokyo, honestly.
I'd love to go to Japan.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that place looks really cool.
It does. Yeah. I haven't been in it, but I'd love to experience the culture there because I think it's just fascinating.
Yeah, I just want to go to like one of those like really crazy places you like see in shows and stuff, or like just like all the shops and stuff, and just go walk around and eat some of the food they got on the street and stuff.
So. Totally, it'd be awesome. What about you, Jacob?
I've always been fascinated by like Eastern or Western European countries, even Eastern too. I haven't really like nailed out which one I want to go to in particular. Probably preferably one that speaks English, because I don't want to be walking around like asking people what to do and they don't understand me.
Right.
But I've always thought about going to London or, you know, just something like that. Mm-hmm. It might be a boring answer, but
yeah,
I
wanted to go there. Europe sounds really exciting to me as well. So
maybe like somewhere in Mexico. Mm-hmm. I'd like to go to Mexico one day.
Right. If I'm being honest, I think the most exciting place any of us could travel to would be Omaha, Nebraska, specifically in the United States. I heard it's a great city.
Oh, yeah.
I do want to get out to California one day if I don't end up like living there.
So there's a lot of cool cities in California, at least from what I see in videos and social media and stories, I guess, because I've never seen it with my own eyes. So it may not exist. And in case you guys didn't know,
for all we know, it might not be.
You can't actually see California without Marlon Brando's eyes. That's a Slipknot song.
Oh,
moving
wow.
on. Do you guys usually hang out when you're not recording for YouTube? That's also from Falky.
Oh.
Well, Jacob and I hang out more than Preston because we hate him very much.
Yes.
So this is only a business relationship, honestly, with Preston. So.
Mm-hmm.
But no, we hang out on occasion. We used to hang out, obviously, a lot more when we lived together, clearly. And we hung out a lot before we started YouTube when we didn't live so far away. I mean, Preston and I used to do this thing where we would alternate weekends where I'd go stay at his house one weekend. He'd come to my house the next weekend. We'd just go back and forth. We did that for a long time. Jacob and I hung out a crap ton in high school. We still hang out now for videos and occasionally occasionally we'll go to
not
a buddy's
nearly as
house.
Much as we used to.
No, just because we're all grown adults now. We have jobs and crap, but which sucks.
Jobs and crap.
Yeah. Well, life gets busy, but when we have the opportunity, we hang out and either play games or, like we said last week, we went to the bars and Jacob falls over a wall and stuff like that.
You never know what's gonna happen.
So, and every now and then we'll go to a movie. Like Jacob will go to a movie with my girlfriend and I sometimes. So.
Yeah, I'm not in the picture ever.
Yeah,
most of the time, I just live too far away to just on a whim be like, "Oh, I'm coming down."
Yeah,
but
which sucks.
I know it does suck.
Well, imagine if we didn't have this podcast, what would we do? I think we'd make an effort to hang out.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we occasionally we went shooting and ate ribs one time.
That was a great, great mandate. That was so fun.
Shot and ate
we'll
ribs.
We'll occasionally do something like that. Typically, we hang out most of the time if we're not doing this on. Just online.
Mm-hmm.
And even then we're sometimes just doing videos.
Yeah.
But
right.
Yeah. Once life slows down a little bit, I'm sure we'll have more opportunities.
Totally.
So.
And that time will come. I trust that it will. The last one from Falky says, if a PC and a PS4 were the same price and the PC ran all games in 60 FPS, would you guys still choose the PS4?
No.
For exclusives, yes.
Well, if I can only pick one, I would pick a PC, to be honest.
I would do it for the exclusives as well.
Yeah.
That's literally the
when
only
a majority
reason why.
Of games that come to PC that I'm interested in already come to PlayStation 4. But just knowing I couldn't play like Horizon or God of War or Spider-Man or any Naughty Dog game, like I'm going to pick
the
PS4.
I think I'd be okay. It would suck, don't get me wrong, but I've always just wanted a powerful PC just to know what it feels like.
I would obviously
it's
want
like a dream
both,
of mine.
But like I said, just I like to just get trophies, and I like just the exclusives more so on PlayStation than the ones that are on PC. So.
Gotcha.
I agree.
So, yeah.
Thanks for those questions.
Yes, thank you, Falky. Those were some fun ones. The next one comes from Andreas Green on Facebook. He says, if you could own a games company, which would it be, and which IP would you push, or would you create a new one? I'll start. If I could own a company, I would own 343, and I would craft a way more exciting original Halo narrative, because I'm tired of this Master Chief stuff. I love Master Chief, awesome character. Hey, like I've said 1,000 times, Halo 1 through 3, that is Master Chief's story. Everything beyond is fan fiction. I hate the story in Halo 5. It's the stupidest thing in the world to me, and I'm not excited at all for the story of Halo 6. The stakes, to me, were the highest in Halo 3, and they resolved that, and everything since then has been a goof fest to me. So I would want to start an original Halo story with absolutely brand new characters, but I've said this, I think, recently. I want Master Chief to have a presence, but you do not play as Master Chief. Master Chief, because everyone loves that, his voice as well. Master Chief is an iconic game character. He would be your Cortana in this next Halo game. You would be either, it would be a Titanfall situation, I think. Now, this is all coming completely out of my mind. I'm just letting it flow out. I haven't actually nailed this down, but I'm thinking a Titanfall 2 situation where you're your average soldier inspired by a Spartan force who the Spartans nearly get wiped out or something. You kind of have to take on the mantle of a Spartan. Almost, I'm copying Titanfall 2's story, but Master Chief is your AI, and maybe there's new enemies. I don't like the Prometheans really at all. I think they're boring to fight. Now, they're very varied. Like the Knights, especially in Halo 5, they refined them. Halo 4, they're kind of the Halo 5, they refined. The Knights actually felt intimidating. Halo 5, they were much harder to kill than everything else. And the Watchers actually served a purpose in this one. So I think Halo 5, from a gameplay perspective, for the most part, now the co-op, I think, was unnecessary in Halo 5. I think it took away from the story. But the gameplay itself, I think, is enjoyable, especially the multiplayer. So I'm very excited about Halo 6 multiplayer, because Halo 5, I think they really nailed it. I think it's been the best multiplayer since Halo 3. So multiplayer, I don't have much to say about. I think 343 is doing a great job. But narratively speaking, I'd love Master Chief and Cortana out of the picture, aside from Master Chief being... It'd be cool if he had his helmet off, but you never still see his face. It's always like from behind or a weird reflection or something. So,
speaking of helmet off, what if 343 decides that in order for like them to reconnect in the next game, spoilers...
For Halo 5, yeah.
Cortana is evil.
Yeah. Sorry, stupid.
But what if, like, in order for her to, like, come to her senses, he takes his mask off? Would you be upset about that?
That's the thing. No matter what they do, people won't be satisfied.
Right.
It doesn't matter what he looks like.
How can it be satisfying, though?
Right, exactly.
Because that's not even a part of him. Like, who cares what he looks like?
Right.
I feel like that's, like,
what if they
ruin it?
Would you be upset?
Yeah. It's so much cooler to me if you never, ever see his face. I'd rather him die in that helmet and be buried in it than ever see his face.
He's going to be. Yeah. We're never going to see
it. I mean, technically, we've seen his face at the end of Halo 4 at the very last shot where they lift up his mask and you see his eyes, but that's enough for me. I don't need to see anything else. So
it's kind of cool how they've played with that.
Yeah.
It's like you don't know who the guy is.
What about you, Jacob?
What was the question again?
If you could have any company studio, and would you let them make like a sequel or just a brand new IP or something?
Can you guess mine?
Can I guess yours?
Blizzard.
Yes.
Third person action game.
That would be cool. It'd be cool.
Or
if
new
Blizzard,
MMO.
Like
Blizzard, make a new MMO.
I want to see them do like a narrative driven RPG.
For me, it'd either be an RPG, like a brand new like franchise, or a new MMO.
I want to see.
Not that I have time to play an MMO anymore, but
yeah,
it's just I like.
I want a new MMO that comes out that like
the
I
whole
can,
world.
I can,
plays.
Yeah, and then I want to jump on the bandwagon
that
right
would
when
be
it
cool.
happens.
That's something like as big as WoW was.
Yeah, I think it could only be as big as WoW if Blizzard did it at this point.
Yeah,
probably.
I think it wouldn't even be that big.
Yeah, but I think it's going to be way bigger than any other company announcing an MMO if Blizzard announces one. So I think they're the only hope for that happening again.
I
really,
want to see a Fable-style RPG from Blizzard. all Blizzard style, their art style, but just like kind of the vibe of Fable. I think that'd be so cool.
I think my easy answer would have been Naughty Dog doing something, but I think that's such an easy answer. A year ago, if you would have asked me this, I would have said Rocksteady and Spider-Man, but that ship has sailed, and I'm sailed. But I'm completely enthusiastic about Insomniac. So I think I'm going to pick. Oh my gosh, I literally just had it in my brain, but I forgot. I'm gonna take. I would take Bethesda, and I would have them do a different style of RPG, maybe like a space RPG or something that takes place in like a sci-fi setting. That's what I would like to see.
What company again?
Bethesda.
Okay.
Game Studios.
With Todd Howard. I'd love to see a space type
RPG. I want to sit down in a chair with Todd Howard and just be like,
I would
love space
to
game
go to
for
lunch
me.
With Todd Howard so, and talk to him.
I would too.
Like, I'd love to get some nice sandwiches and just talk about his ambitions for video games.
Why stop there?
I want Bethesda's version of Mass
Effect.
You're right,
take him home afterwards?
That's essentially
what I want.
Take
him home with you. Just put him in your backpack.
You're coming with me. So yeah, Bethesda's version of Mass Effect is what I want.
That'd be really cool. I'll be into that for sure as well. The next one, also from Andreas Green, he says, don't know if you guys like GTA that much, but where do you think the next one should / will be set? Now, I talked to him briefly on Facebook. I told him it's hard because we've seen there are versions of LA and New York. Mm-hmm. And like, where else in the United States would be like a thriving city environment?
I guess you could do Chicago, but
Watch Dogs did that. And then I said
Atlanta,
San Francisco,
dude.
Watch Dogs.
Has
did
New
that.
York been done? Was San and
that
San Andreas
was
Texas.
San Andreas
right?
is exactly
San Andreas
where
is
GTA
California.
5.
Oh, is it?
GTA 5 takes place in San Andreas or Los Santos.
Right. Yeah, Los Santos. San Andreas is the state, Los Santos is the city, correct?
I don't know. But I know there are the same locations because the main character in San Andreas, you can go there in GTA 5, so I know it's the same area.
I don't know, dude.
He predicts that he thinks they're going to go back to Vice City, though it took... Apparently, Vice City took place in the 80s, which I was unaware of.
What if it was just Vice City modern day, though?
Yeah, that'd be cool. Because
that's like Miami, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I think he's right. He's probably right about that.
That'd be really cool.
There was rumors going around that it was going to be like somewhere outside of the U.S. Mm-hmm. I heard some rumors. Because I know the first GTA or GTA 2 took place in London. I forgot which one it was.
Because I could have sworn I heard either the developers or creators of GTA say that it's meant to be based in the United States. Mm-hmm. It's like American culture and stuff.
Okay.
But I would love to see it go out of the country. That'd be awesome. Just see a brand new city.
Or like you said, Nebraska.
Yeah, Omaha, Nebraska. I mean, let's be honest, it's probably the most exciting city they could use and that we could travel to. So, yeah, I think Vice City sounds correct. I think that's an excellent prediction, Andreas. But I told him, I don't know, Boston maybe, but Fallout 4 did that. I'm trying to think of like any city that's kind of interesting.
Do you think Atlanta could be a cool game? Because Atlanta, I guess, I don't know if because I live here, I just can't see a game.
No, me neither. I've heard people outside of Atlanta say it is the war, and I can vouch for this, we drive in it. Plenty. It's the worst city to get around in ever. It is awful. The traffic just doesn't make sense.
It's pretty bad, though.
I mean, it's bad in the sense that, like, New York, for example, is like a giant grid, and Atlanta's just like a plate of spaghetti everywhere you go. It's crazy.
We literally have Spaghetti Junction.
Yeah.
It sucks. There's way too many people in LA. Like, that place is flooded.
Way too many people in Atlanta.
Yeah, it's pretty wild.
And we haven't accommodated for it. There's not enough roads.
It's a nightmare. It's like the
not
apocalypse.
Not enough transportation.
Getting to your house is just obscene because there's so many people.
And we're not even in the city. We're in
ridiculous.
Yeah. The growth of Atlanta has just massacred even the suburbs, which sucks.
We'll find out the answer to that question within 10 years, hopefully.
Yeah, we'll see. Next one comes. Now, Dexter, you'll have to forgive me. My note said it was on Facebook, but I could not find your question. But my notes also said it was about our thoughts on the state of open world games. So he asked me about our thoughts on the state of open world games, and he asked if we have seen Jim Sterling's Jimquisition episode where he talks about open worlds.
I'm subscribed to Jimquisition, and I've seen the video. I didn't watch it, though. I tend to sometimes watch his videos, and just some of the videos I watch, I'm not a big fan of. Like, I'm all for critiquing and stuff, and I know that's what he does, but it seems like every video I click on, it's just, like, extremely negative and stuff, and it's always bashing a particular developer or a particular thing, and I'm all for, like, criticizing and stuff, and I like his content. I think he's a fine YouTuber, but sometimes I'm just not in the mood to watch, like, a lot of like negative or like critiquing or what have you and stuff. So I haven't watched any of his videos recently because for some reason, just every YouTube video I see recently about games in terms of like a content creator like him, like a sole person, it's just like bashing something. I think that's what's getting a lot of clicks right now.
Yeah.
And I just don't like that. I don't like their... like I said, I'm all for critiquing something. I don't want to kiss something's ass for the sake of kissing its ass, but I feel like a lot of people are putting out content like just having an extreme view on something negatively. Granted, that video probably isn't like that. Like I said, I haven't seen it, but that's the reason why I haven't really watched any of his videos recently, just due to that fact. But I'm sure it's a fine video.
That was the first video I've ever seen from him, and I gathered that immediately that probably all of his videos are like this, and I've seen a couple more since then, and yes, they're all like that.
Oh, but, they are.
Which, yeah. I'm the same way. I prefer like at least a little optimism when you're critiquing something, but...
Is he just saying that there's too many?
Well, one, there's too many. Like, he says that what developers are hung up on, that if it's not an open world game, then it's not big enough and people aren't going to buy it and stuff. And then he says people create this open world and there's not enough content in that open world to make it interesting. And I'll be honest, the only two open worlds that have fully satisfied me in recent memory have been Fallout 4 and The Witcher 3. Mm-hmm. I mean, I played plenty of open world games since then, but none that I felt like necessarily served the story or the gameplay. But I did really enjoy the open world of Metal Gear Solid 5 because I think it was fun to just run around from... Like, I felt cool landing from my helicopter and either hopping on D-Horse or a vehicle and going across and, like, having to sneak through a massive area to get somewhere. That was fun to me. But as far as traditional open-world games, or at least modern open-world games, where there's this big world and there's objectives everywhere to do, and he's saying that most of them, in most of these open-world games, specifically Ubisoft, are all just collect this, sabotage this place. He said it's just a repetition of countless objectives that you just do the same thing over and over and over again, and side quests are as simple as, hey, can you go pick this fruit for me and bring it back, and like that counts as a side quest. He's saying that that's a problem, and I agree. I wouldn't say it bothers me as much because I don't play as many of those games as I used to. I loved Far Cry 3 and 4.
Sometimes there's like I have a craving for that game right
me
now.
Me too, yeah.
Like, I think it's just like that's a particular game style that like Ubisoft has caught up on. Mm-hmm. Do they need to do that with every single franchise they have? Like, no. Mm-hmm. But in terms of like that just being straight crap, and I don't think he was saying that. I didn't see it, but sometimes I like want that.
Yeah, me too. That's why I'm excited. Now, I don't know when my window will be, but I'm excited to play Watch Dogs 2. You said you thought it was pretty fun, and it looks fun to me, and I'm kind of... At some point, when it makes sense, I'll be in that mood to play a Ubisoft game where I just run around the city and sabotage places and shoot stuff and drive around and everything. So it just sounds kind of fun. Yeah.
That's kind of why I like The Witcher so much, because a lot of the side quests are just like one-off quests that it's just some person out and you just do something for him. And like, there are some that, you know, there are repetitive, but there's a lot of different little mini stories placed within The Witcher.
Having played The Witcher again, like, pretty much every side quest
is a little mini story.
It's a mini story that really isn't repetitive. Every big creature at the end of a contract, I think only like one or two repeats itself, as in terms of like, I think there's a griffin and there's like two Leshens.
Mm-hmm. But even if it is like the same model, like they add something to the model to make it more
there's
compelling.
Choices. Like, oh, they're like one quest, I don't even have to kill the monster, like, because some turmoil was going down in the village and one guy didn't want me to kill it. So there's, you know, there's always a choice to do that. I think The Witcher is probably one of the most unrepetitive RPGs I've ever played.
Right. But I think
I definitely understand in terms of Ubisoft games.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I think that's why most people, especially RPG fans, regard Witcher 3 as the standard of RPGs now. Like, that the new bar has been set. At least try to meet that, because it's phenomenal.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I'm not...
And I'm not talking about the question marks, because obviously that's repetitive, but there's not really even a need to do those things. I guess just to get extra XP or crafting materials and stuff, but that's not like a side mission. That's just like, hey, there's a monster quest in this world. If you want to go get it, go do it. I'm talking about like the core of like the actual quest you get from like notice boards and stuff. Those aren't really repetitive.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, I'm not upset about the state of open world games, because there are great ones and there are just mediocre ones. So, I mean, that's with every
genre. I haven't really played a game recently where I was like, this doesn't need to be open world. I'm trying to think of a game that I thought that with, because like Final Fantasy 15, I loved the open world parts of that game. I've heard some people say that it shouldn't have been open world, but I really liked the open world.
I would have preferred it to just be linear, but it's not to say that I didn't enjoy it. Mm-hmm. You know,
see, I disliked, I mean, I didn't like hate, but I disliked more than the open world the linear parts of that game.
I don't know, I just feel like, I don't know, I haven't played the other Final Fantasy, so I've only watched them. So
and having played 6 say. And 10, they are definitely extremely more linear. Right. Like, very much so. So, but yeah.
Nice. Yeah, that's about all I have to say as well, but what's the next? We have Legend of Zelda and Horizon coming, the next big open world games, and Mass Effect as well, so we'll see how that goes.
Yeah.
And we'll judge accordingly. But thank you, Dexter, for your question. We appreciate that.
That's three big open world games.
How open worldy is Mass Effect even going to be, though?
It's like...
Because Dragon Age was like...
Yeah, that's true.
Open world, like, is it going to be like that?
I think it's going to be like that on different planets, for sure. That's like technically open world. It's kind of like we've been saying big hub areas, essentially. Yeah. So, which I kind of prefer for Mass Effect. I liked, you know, we've talked about this one off the
Mass
into
Effect
detail,
1 but. Was more like that, whereas mm-hmm. 2 was like, if you land on a planet, you just go through a linear area. Whereas mm-hmm. Mass Effect 1, you could actually get in the Mako and like drive around to different places and scan rocks and crap.
Right. Yeah, I'm definitely excited about it. Hopefully it is great.
I'm sure it will be. Mm-hmm. I have big faith. Wasn't I'm ripping the N7 shirt right now.
Nice. Yeah.
Wasn't Mako a guy in Yu-Gi-Oh! The show? Wasn't he that guy with the C deck?
Yeah, he was. Yeah.
I still haven't gotten to play.
Oh, yeah, I've been playing that game too.
Yeah, I've been playing
week.
That too.
I've been so busy, fun. I haven't had a chance to even open the
it's
app
awesome.
Yet.
You like it?
I haven't played very much, but it's fun.
Yeah, I'm playing a lot of it.
I'm so excited.
I like
to
wake up and lay in
it.
Bed and play it.
That sounds great.
It's fun.
Man,
don't burn yourself.
Yeah, I keep trying to see how close I can get without burning myself. So the next one comes from our buddy Edgar Herrera at Gmail. He says, let's say you can only play one game for the rest of your life. What game would you choose and what genre? What open world story driven game like The Witcher, an open world sandbox game like GTA or Skyrim, a story adventure game like The Last of Us, a multiplayer game like Rocket League or Overwatch, or an MMORPG like WoW or Destiny? For the fun of it, any online game would have an everlasting community, so that is not an issue. So essentially, any game from any genre if you can only play one the rest of your life.
I don't think I want to play anything the rest of my life.
If I had to, I'd probably pick up WoW.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd probably just run out of stuff to do, though.
But I mean, if there's
it would last
the
longest.
The rest of your life is a long time.
Yeah.
You know what I would do?
I mean, that's going to last longer than a lot of other games.
Maybe not a multiplayer game. Unless you just get sick of it.
I mean, there's PvP in WoW, right?
That's true.
Yeah.
I didn't think about that, yeah.
Get fucking wrecked, dude.
In my own game.
Get your ass out of here.
I would probably pick...
I would pick a multiplayer shooter because most multiplayer shooters are totally unpredictable. Specifically ones that are big, like Battlefield or Halo. I cannot even tell you how many What's that noise down there?
It's a phone.
Oh. Yeah. I cannot even tell you how many ridiculous experiences I've had playing Halo 3 in the past, because just the craziest things happen in that game, especially when you're playing stuff like Big Team Battle. So I think the unpredictability of a multiplayer shooter would keep me entertained forever.
If all I had was a multiplayer shooter, you would find me a week later. I would
Dead.
Have hung myself from the coconut tree on the island.
The nice. Coconut tree.
Yeah.
No, I love a good multiplayer shooter myself.
I do too, but...
But it has to be one that I said that's unpredictable, like Halo or Battlefield.
That would be Call of Duty Infinite Warfare.
Yeah, no. I would kill myself if I was stuck with Call of Duty. Not that I think Call of Duty's bad, but the multiplayer, you always pretty much know what's going to happen every
match. I don't
think
I'd last a day with that game.
I'd probably last a few days, and then I'd... like swallow some sand till I died or something, or drown myself in the ocean,
choke yourself,
cut my
sand.
Arm off and bleed out till a shark eats me alive. So
since I have to pick, I'll just do Overwatch, I guess. Okay. That's what I'm having the most fun with.
Yeah, Overwatch is a lot of fun. That'd be it'd probably be my number two,
but again, sure. You'd probably get sick of it playing it your whole life, so
yeah, you'd master every character flawlessly. Of course, yes. According to what's his name from Blizzard says, no one's even played Sombra correctly yet.
Right.
So
thanks, Jeff.
We appreciate that, Jeff. The last one comes from our buddy Sam Harris on Twitter. He says, what is the one thing from gaming past that should return? Example, complete all DLC, etc. games released at launch. One thing that should return from gaming past.
I don't think having all DLC was a thing of gaming past. I'm not saying that games have not unintentionally kept things out from DLC, mm-hmm. but like for the most part, like back in the old days, if you would have gotten like Fallout 4 and have every single expansion, like that wasn't going to happen.
Right.
I don't know, man.
I would love... So I'm trying to think of stuff that makes sense. I can't say, I'd love split screen to be predominant again when online's a thing. That's never
going to
come back.
I'd like games working flawlessly from the bat.
Without a day one patch?
Yes.
That would be awesome. That would be awesome.
That would be nice.
That would be great. That's a huge one for sure. I would love Nintendo to be a king of gaming again. Like, people just regard it as being like, all the games are incredible. Their hardware is killing it. type situation. I'd love to turn Nintendo have a huge comeback. Even though it's not looking so bright for them currently, I'm excited about the Switch regardless.
I would like to play WoW again. There would be millions and millions of people playing it like there used to be. Mm-hmm. There still are millions of people playing, but you know, just not nearly as many as there used to be.
Yeah. I miss the
feeling.
Is that
even the question?
It's just one thing from Gaming Past.
Yeah.
I guess.
One thing.
It's the best I can
I'm trying to think of a couple just so you can pick and choose from. I miss the feeling of, I don't know how to describe it.
Oh, yeah.
I think I miss the feeling of just being a kid in middle school or high school and not having to worry about anything but going to school and playing video games.
I want to blow into a cartridge again.
That's yeah. I, well, you kind of get to with Nintendo Switch games. Yeah,
I want that high again.
Yeah. The high of all that dust.
The high of going like losing all your breath and almost passing out trying to get freaking Aladdin on the Super Nintendo to work.
vivid memories of blowing into my SNES
and
games.
Then my grandpa finally bought me a air in a can and blew my mind.
Yeah.
I was like, what?
I was looking for one of those the other day. I couldn't find one. I needed one for what I was doing at work. So,
excellent questions.
Yeah, they were fun ones. We really appreciate all those. Thank you so much for all of you, not only listening in, but contributing to the conversation this week. It was awesome. So thank you very much.
Absolutely. That was the It's Obvious Gaming Podcast. It's where my two best friends and I get together every single week to discuss video games. Obviously, if you're checking out us, God, I got to write me a freaking book to follow
write a
so I don't
script
do this
study
shit anymore. Yes, exactly. If you're listening to us, not checking us out, you got to do that at YouTube to look at us. If you're listening to us anywhere else but YouTube, please check us out at youtube.com/itsobviousgaming. If you aren't subscribed to us on iTunes, please do that and write us a review. We've received a lot of very positive reviews, and we appreciate that very much.
Mm-hmm. Don't forget to vote on that Twitter poll.
Yes, absolutely. And send us a question on Twitter as well at AskIOG, hashtag in front of that.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
God. What the hell?
You're killing it, man.
I know,
works.
Dude.
You're getting all the points across.
I'll write on my hotel notepad when I'm gone. I'll write. Because I wrote that little thing I say already in the car, and I repeated it to myself over and over again, over a year ago, I think. So I just got to do that for all this other stuff so we can look professional. We got to get more people to think we're professional to listen to us. Mm-hmm. So
that's the problem.
Yeah.
That's the lack of professionalism.
And check out our communities on PlayStation Network. It's Obvious Gaming. We broke 100. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
We have cool little the subreddit. It's not coming.
Yeah,
sorry, that's not coming. I tried to do it and I was like, what?
Yeah,
I have to talk to people to get this up and running.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I like browsing Reddit, but I don't like interacting.
You have
Reddit.
To build a karma and stuff to do. Like, I don't. I'm not good at that.
Like this is what I did one time. So I read these rules on Reddit for promoting a podcast. It's for up and coming podcast stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, you can submit your podcast here. You have to follow these guidelines when you post it. It's like scientific exactly how you have to post it. So it tedious me trying to figure out for an hour, finally get it correct, and I post it and it was fine. And then it was immediately removed. It says, you don't have any karma. You have to have good karma before you can post anything. It's F me. So so I go commenting on other people's podcasts. And I genuinely would listen to the first couple minutes of a podcast and be like, oh, this sounds pretty fun. I'd be like, hey, podcast sounds cool. I like the subject matter. It'd be stuff that I didn't even think of. These guys that review fast food was a podcast. I'm like, that's kind of cool. So I commented on a few. I was like, all right, maybe I got some karma. And then I got another message that said, you're spamming everything now. You need to stop. I was like, F this. I was like, I'm done here.
Jeez.
It's like Nazi Germany on Reddit, and I can't stand it. I'd rather us just make I don't know when it'll be absolutely necessary, but we've talked about at a point it'll make sense to have our own website with forums of topics out the wazoo for everyone to talk on. So that day will come, possibly sooner rather than later. We'll see. But, we definitely want to have a hub in addition to YouTube where we can all talk about various topics at ease and not have to be all confused with reading certain things. So,
how about we just give out our phone numbers so people can just text us?
We'll call us at any time.
We'll throw in our phone numbers in the description of all our videos. So we'll add that to the list.
Yeah. Well, guys, it's been a pleasure. I wish everybody a happy week of gaming, and we'll talk to you guys next week.
Absolutely. Everyone have a wonderful week.
Farewell.
Bye.